direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. We've got a couple hours to spend together. Plenty on my mind, but probably more on yours, and you will take precedence. But before we do anything else, I want to tell you about this latest scam. You know, for decades, there has been a scam, particularly in Southern California, but probably throughout the country, whereby on the interstates, people would rear-end you in order to get information or what have you. And that morphed into they'd be in front of you, they'd stop to make sure you rear-ended them, at which point they would, of course, sue you. And that went on for years. But a little more novel now, and this actually is happening pretty much widespread in England, London, and other places, but I guarantee you it will be coming here soon, and it's somewhat a twist on this. It is drivers who intentionally hit other drivers, not necessarily major impact accidents. You get out of the car, you exchange information, and that's when all hell breaks loose, because the reason they've hit you, what they're after is your insurance information, your street address, anything that would give them enough information, a copy of your driver's license. Well, with your driver's license and the insurance information alone, that's enough for identity theft, and that's what they're after. What they'll say is, let me take a picture of your insurance card and your driver's license, and then we'll go our ways. Do not, absolutely do not allow that to happen. Now, I don't know the law in every jurisdiction with fender benders, because largely these are pretty much fender bender accidents. Many times the police will say, no, don't call, you know, for something that minor. Well, I think in most places, all you have to do is give them your name and your contact information, i.e. a phone number, and sometimes the VIN number of your vehicle. And that's pretty much it. But do not give them your insurance card and your driver's license. And when I read this, I thought, you know, this is not surprising. The only thing surprising is that it hasn't happened earlier. And so the bottom line is that people are pressured in this kind of situation, because when you're hit, you're somewhat jostled. You're not thinking straight and all that for handing over the information. There was one case where one victim had more than 40 insurance policies taken out using their stolen information, which, by the way, was discovered only after they started receiving threatening letters. And so some of the cases are hijacking existing insurance policies and fraudulent claims. See, that's what you do with the policies, obviously, is you make fraudulent claims. And with 40 of them, you're probably bound to, hit pay dirt more than a few times. So if you're in an accident and the other driver wants a photo of your insurance card or your driver's license, that is a red flag. Do not The most you have to do is your name, your contact information, and the vehicle registration number. In other words, your license plate number is probably all you need to do. But if you're in doubt, check with local authorities. But I guarantee you that this scam is going to come here big time because it works so well. And so that's the deal. Now, very often in Great Britain, it's been mopeds or motorcycles as well that have been running into cars. And so be aware of what's around you. The moped scammers often drive head on into the victim. They throw the moped down, they drop to the floor, faking an injury. And bottom line is they'll get your information because you're that shaken up. In many cases, they have an accomplice, someone appearing to act as a witness to it. So you could be targeted. And the bottom line is do not exchange any unnecessary details. Yeah, so in London, it's, and I guess probably all of Great Britain, it's your name, your address, your vehicle registration. In most cases, it's not more than that. It's certainly not your insurance card. It's certainly not a copy of your driver's license. Don't do it. All right, 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh. By the way, if there's anybody in law enforcement listening, particularly in Illinois, I would love to know your advice on how to handle this. Because on the one hand, someone runs into you, you don't want to just run off, so to speak. Obviously, you want to get their license plate if there is one. But other than that, what information are you by law asked to divulge? And I'm pretty sure it's not a picture of your driver's license. All right, so 888-876-5593. Ruth and Gurney, welcome back to WGN Radio. Hey, Ruth, get to the phone. All right. Yeah, when you're listening to the radio, understand that it's probably 8-9 seconds before you actually hear what you need to hear to be on the phone. So penalizing Ruth for that and hanging up. All right. Yeah, listen to the phone, not the radio. James on the South Side, welcome to WGN Radio.
How are you doing?
I can't complain, although I'll tell you, it's just scam a minute here. And you gave me some
of it. Yeah, that one, okay, at first I started not to say it. I know how you say nothing from overseas. Right. But I said, this is so weird that it could happen here.
You know, it's not so weird, it's so effective, and you know it's going to happen
here. Because people get... I mean, you get in an accident, you're thinking, I hope I haven't hurt anybody. Most people don't want to have something happen in an accident. All they're trying to do is get home, be fine, everything is okay.
Yeah, so this absolutely will be, will be on a street near you because it is so effective. So forewarned is forearmed. And I hope someone in law enforcement will let us know, what do you do? What information do you have to exchange? But clearly it's not having a stranger taking pictures of your driver's license and insurance cards.
Oh, then I came across one really kind of nasty one. And involves apparently Walmart account.
What's the deal?
Yeah, where apparently, and they had to, Walmart had to pay the people back because apparently somebody had hacked or done something, got a hold of people's information, or was just simply milking it through their account numbers.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah, and it's pretty sinister. And unfortunately, this is when those charges appeared. They're not on credit cards; they're on bank accounts. And so, supposedly scammers are randomly guessing customers' card information. I don't think so. I think there's probably more to this story about how they're how they're getting it as far as that goes. And this happened big time in Alabama, and one of the credit unions there accused Walmart outright of allowing the charges to go through on the website. And the bottom line is that people who are banking with that credit union are protected from what they're doing. But I think that, and I'm not sure how, but I don't think scammers are, able to guess all of the information needed for that.
No, I don't either. I think that either somebody has supplied them, or they got another some other information somewhere else.
Or is there, you know, now I wouldn't be surprised that a bot could do it. Is there a computer program that's doing it? Because it may be that, then when we're talking randomly.
Yeah, AI is,
Whatever the case is, I think that it probably is true that no company could 100% prevent it. But there probably isn't enough software to protect the customer on that. So Walmart issued the refunds to 77% of the customers affected. Now, what I don't understand, 77% of the customers, why wasn't that 100%?
Yeah,
exactly. So
wondering where, okay, what was it with these other, was there some plant somebody in here who maybe was working with the...
Well, there's another thing. Remember, and it happened actually at a Walmart in Virginia, all you have to do is a little device that'll steal all the information that you just attach it to the self-checkout machines and where it's not noticed. And the other thing that I've mentioned time and time again, and there were tons of stories about people losing all their money and, all this stuff. No. Use credit cards. Never use debit cards. It's that simple. And if somebody is saying, well, I don't have good credit, I can't get a credit card, get a collateralized card. Put the money in an account and get the card, because debit cards do not offer nearly the amount of protection that a credit card would in the event of things like this.
Yeah, and also once they end up where they have to shut things down to stop it, then you can't access your money. They don't know you are who you are.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you're basically screwed for the next 5-6 months at least.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Maybe a couple years.
You can avoid it though. Like I say, credit cards have amazing consumer protections that debit cards do not. It's going to get worse. And I think that more people need to be very aware of this.
Oh, yeah.
So, there you are.
And, let's see. Let's go to a couple other ones right quick. Hopefully, we'll wake up soon enough.
Oh, no, I've given up for that. But anyway, so tell me what other ones are interesting you at the moment.
About the cruise passenger was banned for life?
Oh, the one who didn't return the misdirected luggage? Yes, I'm aware. I'm very aware of that, yes. And when the luggage was finally returned, it was actually missing things. But when you're on a cruise and your luggage goes to a central place and then it's supposedly delivered to your cabin, your stateroom, whatever, the bottom line is that it doesn't always work out. Well, usually it's not an issue. Someone who gets the wrong luggage, tells whoever it is on an authority there, hey, this isn't mine, and it gets redirected. Well, this was a case where a woman just decided to keep it.
Yeah, I decided, this is a case where honesty is always the best policy.
The other stupidity thing here involved is if you're going to be this nefarious, dump every piece of the contents out and make sure there is nothing like an electronic device that could possibly track this piece of luggage, because that's exactly what happened here.
Yep. And unfortunately, it goes back to that old Forrest Gump line. Stupid is a stupid
thing. Yeah, and in this case, I'd love to say it's just stupidity, but there are so many things that are happening so quickly that a lot of people who are scammed had no idea that this could occur. And of course, a lot of the scammers, yes, are dumb enough not to understand what to do to protect themselves, and for that, I am glad.
In fact, law enforcement says that most times how they is because the criminals are not geniuses as they think they are.
Well, absolutely, and do not understand, thank God, how to cover their tracks. Now, you also gave me a story, sadly, from nearby Milwaukee, where a man intentionally drops a 1-year-old child from a balcony while he was fighting with the child's mother. Now, what was most interesting to me on this story was what he said to the cops when they told him. I got to find this quote because it's, by the way, the child is okay. I wasn't even going to read this story aloud in any way, shape, and form if this had been a crushing incident, but it turns out that the injuries were not severe. And you hope, obviously, that there won't be something discovered later, but it's a toddler who ran into the man in question while he was cooking a meal. And so he grabs the child, shakes the child, and then grabs him by the neck as the fighting escalates and drops her, it's a female child, off a 15-foot balcony. Now, then punches the woman in the face repeatedly. And when he turned himself into police, which is what he does, he says, "I knew the fight had gone too far, but I don't think I went overboard." No, the child went overboard. I couldn't even believe that he said this. And he said, "Yes, I probably hit her too many times." Needless to say,
I'm like thinking, and this was supposed to be her mother's boyfriend.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
I'm thinking, if I'm her mother, I'm thinking, let's just simply decide to go our separate ways.
Well, you know, unfortunately, this happens too often. We had a guy in Indiana who attacked his girlfriend's one-year-old child because the child spilled water. Now, in this case, the jury deliberated for 20 minutes before they found him guilty of battery on a child. And so as far as that goes, he'll be away for a bit of time. And apparently that was before this, she takes the one-year-old's nose, shoves it into the carpet. The toddler accidentally spilled the water. And meanwhile, the child was bleeding from the nose and head after this. And on top of that, the child is nonverbal. So, and they say autism.
Okay, you want to know, I hate to be him in a prison, though.
I hope. I hope there's a sign around his neck. Yeah, so.
Yeah, there's probably some prisoners who are going to say, you know, okay, we don't like your kind.
Yeah. All right. Well, there you go. And a lot of good stories, and I'll be talking about more of them. What?
Okay, there was one other about a teacher who basically made a child who had a dairy allergy.
Oh, I saw
basically
that.
Basically clean up. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, that was bad.
Yeah, and I think it was an assistant principal, actually, who forced a 6-year-old to clean up her own waste after being sickened by a dairy allergy. I see.
That's sad.
We've already gone to, I blew the brakes, so we've already gone to.
Okay.
I'll talk to you later. Okay, bye.
Okay,
all right. So, yes, that's right. We have Bob tonight, and he keeps me honest when I otherwise am not. So we'll pick it up after the news right here. And, I've got a Magic Mountain story for you. And if you're saying, what's Magic Mountain? Well, they don't call it that anymore, but we'll tell you all about it coming up on WGN Radio. Well, that was supposed to be Ruby and the Romantics, and I don't know what went wrong. So we will have Fran's request, because that's what it was, coming up in the next break, and I'll avoid singing it for you. So 888-876-5593, 8888-Raleigh. Let me actually get to the story, and then we'll get to Jim in Richmond, going back to scams. In Los Angeles in 1971, a new amusement park occurred, and it was Magic Mountain, and Magic Mountain was about 200 acres, and it was in what then was called Valencia. It was about 35 miles north of downtown, and this was, today it's Santa Clarita, and there's, you know, hundreds of thousands of people living there, but at the time there wasn't. And it opened in 1971, part of the Newhall Land and Farming Company, and SeaWorld Inc., actually, the guy from SeaWorld wanted to start it, and then they got together. Well, this was a very interesting park in that it had some amazing roller coasters, but it was plagued in the 70s, to say the least, with disaster. One of the things that got a lot of people concerned was the gang activity. And there were probably over half a dozen stabbings and things of this nature. And so, and there were deaths, too, from some of the rides. And so, needless to say, by the close of the 70s, as we're getting into 1978, 79, the area is in trouble, to say the least. In fact, 78 was disastrous for them. A mechanic died when a car from one of the rides collapsed on top of him, and then his body wasn't discovered till the next day, and that was all over the news. And then a month later, there was a pair of newlyweds who were sent crashing to the ground after they were violently rocked on Eagle's flight, and the husband died, and the bride sustained critical injury. I don't know. It was like that, on and on and on. And then they opened Colossus. And Colossus was the latest and greatest roller coaster that made all sorts of news for all the wrong reasons. A 20-year-old had plummeted to her death, fell out of the ride, and I think it was a situation where she was obese, and the ride couldn't properly accommodate her. But they let her on it, to say the least. So I bring all that up because in 79, what happens is Six Flags buys them. And Six Flags, to say the least, has a history of running some fine amusement parks as far as that goes. And so they took out a big ad campaign, and I'll never forget this because I was working morning drive in Los Angeles, sidekick to Charlie Tuna. And that was a story in and of itself. But in any event, sales came to me and said, "We've just signed you up. They're reopening Colossus, and you're going to be the first rider." I looked at them. I said, "I can't." And they said, "Well, don't worry. No. I said, "You don't understand. I can't." And I couldn't, not because I was afraid of it, but with my vision and detaching retina problems and all that, I just couldn't. And so after that, they were in trouble because they couldn't find anybody who wanted to get on this ride. I have no idea what happened. But meanwhile, Six Flags, as I say, did a pretty good job of it initially. And I say initially because the gang activity returned. In fact, there was one thing, I think it was like 1984, where it was some high school graduation party and four people got stabbed or something like that. It was not good. And, for a while, everybody thought, well, Six Flags is going to sell it, and they didn't. But so why am I bringing all of that up with the history of Magic Mountain and Six Flags and all that? Well, I'm bringing it up because in the news just that I saw today we've got a lawsuit. Oh, do we ever have a lawsuit? And what happened, sadly, and I got to find it here, and it was in front of me before, and I think I moved it away when I was doing something else, but let me see if I can get it back here, because, this is a heck of a lawsuit. A 22-year-old died, and in terms of that. So let me, when I was busy looking for Ruby and the Romantics, I managed to upset all sorts of things, but here we go. 22-year-old had a brain hemorrhage after riding a fifth-dimension roller coaster with rotating seats. So the parents have filed a lawsuit. And this is the thing. If you read much about Magic Mountain or Six Flags Valencia, what you're going to see is that I think they might have more coasters than anywhere else. And for coaster enthusiasts, there's a lot of very interesting rides here. But what the parents and their lawyers are saying is this 22-year-old's shearing brain injury and death was caused by a defectively designed X2 roller coaster at the Valencia Park. And shearing brain injuries are when the brain tears, and it's a traumatic injury that obviously occurs under very intense circumstances. The organ suddenly shifts and rotates inside a person's skull. And the parents and their attorneys who announced the lawsuit, by the way, the 22-year-old died a couple of years ago, and they had been fighting it legally ever since then, but now the lawsuit comes out this month against Six Flags Entertainment and Magic Mountain LLC and all of that. And they said, more than anything else, we want to make sure this won't kill anybody else. And the thing that the parents were most upset is that they're getting no information. They say Six Flags has gone dark. The only way we've been able to contact them is through our attorney. They won't explain to us what happened. So this young man had just graduated from San Diego State. He was in excellent health. And, of course, you know, here's graduation and you want to do something really, really special. And so his brother and his cousin were sitting behind him. And he sat in a row by himself on the X2. During what is an extremely rough ride, advertised as such, and the ride suddenly, abruptly, and violently jolted to a halt, and it jarred everybody on it, obviously, to say the least. This is the seats that rotate 360 degrees, and there's several drops. You go upside down. You reach speeds of 76 miles an hour, heights of 200 feet. And described as a fifth dimension coaster by Six Flags. And the complaint says it's a fourth dimension coaster, and coaster enthusiasts will know the difference there. But he got off the ride. He was alive at that point, but he began to falter as he walked down an off ramp. And his brother and his cousin saw him trying to steady himself, and he couldn't do it, and knelt down, slumped onto his side, and his cousin and brother were supporting him and trying to help him. But at that point, he becomes unconscious, and he's taken to a medical tent at Six Flags, and then rushed to Henry Mayo, which is a hospital in Newhall, well, in Valencia now. They changed the names of these towns. But a CT scan revealed that he had an extensive brain bleed. And the staff there said it was a catastrophic injury caused by a roller coaster accident, which, despite massive blood transfusions, Christopher Hawley was already lost a significant amount of blood, and he died the next day. And so the X2 was briefly closed before it reopened to riders. And we know it's not the first time at Six Flags, but it's also not the first time on the X2. And the attorney said it's been linked to previous incidents where people receive whiplash, head and leg injuries, and more from the ride's sudden shuddering and jolts. And so safety warnings are inadequate and outdated, and park visitors are not clearly warned about the injuries that could result. And, you know, there's been a lot in the news as far as that goes, including riders who have posted things saying they want to be in contact with anybody else who experienced bad whiplash and all of that. And other users say, hey, we always have a great time there, but the rides are unusually rough. And this was designed that way. It's a sudden jolt that causes you to lurch forward, followed by a force that basically causes your head to slam into the back headrest. And there you have that. And so bottom line is that it might be helpful if you know that it's coming and brace for it. I don't know if it would be helpful or not. But others are saying this is infamous for being ridiculously rough. And, you know, some coaster enthusiasts will ride it again and again and again and not have a problem. But depending, well, in the case of this 22-year-old, he died. So the parents are seeking an unspecified amount of damages. But I think more than anything else, they're seeking to make this known. But, yeah, Six Flags has, in Magic Mountain, has an enormous amount of roller coasters for that. And I remember they opened the Great American Revolution in 76, and it was the first park in the world to have one quite like it. The Colossus, the prior ride that was still there at that point, was wooden. And so a lot of people, you know, enjoy that too. Yeah, Colossus opened after Great American, but I digress. And that was the fastest, largest dual-tracked wooden coaster in the world. And that's when they closed it. Yeah, and they extensively redid it. Yeah, right, exactly. And I was not on it. All right, so I don't remember if they ever got anybody else to do that, but I know the sales was very upset about me. You know, you want medical proof? Yeah, so finally they went away. But we could go on and on with that. But the bottom line on stuff like this is absolutely do not believe that this is all benign. It may or may not, depending upon your own body condition. And so there you have it. All right, so we'll see where that lawsuit goes as far as that is. And if anything, maybe the family will get what they're after, which is better warnings to other people and maybe changes in the rides. Jim in Richmond, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hi, Raleigh. Thank you for taking my call.
Always.
I just wanted to tell you about the phone call I got And it was a voicemail because I don't answer, you know,
smart
solicited calls.
Right. And it numbers you don't recognize. Right. That's
right.
Smart.
It started out, I'm Ann so-and-so. I represent R.J. Reynolds Tobacco Company, and we would like information as far as we know. You know Eric, and I won't say his last name
right.
that they said.
Right.
And you went to school with him at Niles North High School, and we want information about his smoking habits. And I'm going, I never went to Niles North.
Right.
You know, I graduated high school in 71,
right.
and Niles North didn't even open until 68.
Okay.
So I just wanted to, you know, that has to be a scam.
Oh, it is a scam. It absolutely is a scam.
Know,
now, it's interesting that they do that because I wonder how many people they send that to hoping that they'll hit somebody who did go to that school.
Right. And it just, you know, I hung it up without. I mean, after listening to the email, and I was starting laughing because but close to that is my son's went to Niles West. But
here, hang
just,
on a minute. Don't go away. Stay where you are. But I just realized that the time has come, and we can't be delayed yet another minute because it's time for Walter's Perspective, and that's sponsored by HearingHealthCenter.com.
Catch me daydreaming of you-know-who,
you-know-who,
daydreaming of you, all my love dreams go hand in hand with sunshine, cause they're bright
daydreams of you.
Ruby and the Romantics, and that is the flip side of Young Wings Can Fly. And Fran just wanted to hear Ruby and didn't care what I picked, so for whatever reason, that was what it was. We'll get to Jim after the news. We'll also get to Karen and Eduardo, and there will be room for you next hour as well. 888-876-5593. And sitting here during the commercial break, I've just been advised I'm part of a data breach. We'll tell you about that, too, coming up on WGN Radio.
A man in Kentucky sure is lucky to love down in Bowling Green. Bowling Green folks treat you kind. They let you think your own mind. A man in Kentucky sure is lucky. In Bowling Green you walk your own line. Kentucky's sunshine makes the heart unfold. It warms the body, and I know it touches the soul. Bluegrass is fine, Kentucky homes my mind. The fields down in Bowling Green have the softest grass I've ever seen.
67 for the Everly Brothers in Bowling Green. It was Billy Bob and Bourbon A who requested that. Took us a while to get there, but we did. WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and we got a first-time caller, and I always defer to them. So we will get to Karen and Eduardo and Chris, but first, David is a first-time caller in California. So, David, welcome to WGN Radio.
Well, hi, Raleigh. My first time calling you on WGN, but I think I called you maybe 10 years ago when you were on a different station. But,
very possibly. Yes. Well, good to hear from you. What part of California are you in?
San Francisco.
All right. So what's up?
Nice out here today. Well, I don't know if you've noticed, but time has been frozen. And so we thought that we went through St. Patrick's Day earlier in the week. And we thought that our birthdays are coming up and Christmas is coming up and Thanksgiving, but apparently time has been frozen by the magical works of Speaker Mike Johnson. If you caught Rachel Maddow's show last Friday,
I got to cut you off right there. The rules on the WGN show is there is absolutely no political talk whatsoever. So, if you want to talk about something that isn't political, we can do that. And see, here, when I saw Frozen Time, I thought, oh, well, that's an interesting paradox, and there's a lot of people in the mediumistic realm who talk about that. But if you're talking politics, you got the wrong show at this point. I just can't do it.
Well, it's sad because...
Well, it is sad, but those are the rules that I live by.
Do we have birthdays anymore?
Talk to you later. All right, so we're just not going to be political. I was hoping that would be a nice call. And yeah, we could talk about the spiritual aspects, but that has absolutely nothing to do with where that guy was going. Karen in Chicago, welcome to WGN Radio.
Hi. Raleigh?
Yes.
It's Karen.
Yes, I know that.
I didn't hear all of that. I'm sorry. I think my phone is acting up. I'm calling about, remember last night, or maybe not, even, we talked about the little recorder that I said I carried around with me.
Yes.
And I used it for, sometimes if I had to learn something, or I had to remember something.
Right.
Okay, well, I got the information for it.
Okay.
And it's called the MicroSpeak.
Okay.
Digital recorder. And now, originally, the number that came with it was the number for AT Guys. Now, they're a very, very good company. And the only problem is that when you call, you leave your name and number on a voicemail, and it sometimes takes a while to get back to you. So I have a couple of other numbers where I know for one that sells it for sure, and the other one I'm quite sure does.
First, let's talk about this a moment. MicroSpeak is interesting, but this is pricey. As you probably know, this is not cheap. And the reality is you can get digital recorders that are to a greater or lesser degree accessible. Some yes, some no, but as cheap as $10. So as long as you understand that this is not a $10 item, this is closer to a $100 item, then go for it.
No, mine wasn't. I got it from Lighthouse. It was nowhere near 100. I think it might have been 40 or 50.
Okay.
But no more than that, because I remember I thought I lost one, and I wound up getting a second one, and I think that was from Independent Living Aid.
Okay.
But the numbers for the, it's called Tools for Living. It's a product center in the Chicago Lighthouse.
Uh-huh.
And it's 1-800. Wait a minute. 1-800-919. 3375.
Okay. 800-919-3375.
Right. And the other one is Independent Living Aids.
Yeah, ILS, right.
Yeah, and that's 1-800-537-2118.
When did you last get these?
I've been using it in class, maybe a year or 2 years ago.
Yeah, I think they're up to at least 75 now.
Are they?
Yeah.
Wow. I didn't realize that because I had gotten one, like I say, from the Lighthouse.
Yeah.
And that was when they first came out.
Right.
And then last year I got one from Independent Living Aids because I thought I had left mine at the Lighthouse.
Yep. I just looked up their prices, and of course you got to pay some shipping too. But it's $69.99.
Oh yeah, they've gone up.
What hasn't? You know, unfortunately.
Well, yeah, I know.
Yeah.
But I know Fran said she was interested, and
yeah.
I thought it might be a help for Jim because it's about the size of my little secret pocket radio.
Uh-huh.
And you can carry it in a purse or a pocket.
Sure.
And it's so handy because when you charge it, it will tell you when the battery's, it'll say battery high.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you turn it on, if you've been using it and you want to turn it on and use it again, it will tell you battery whatever, and then it will tell you if it's all the way gone, it'll say battery empty.
Okay.
And that is real helpful. And on the, when you first get it and turn it on, you have the whole manual of instructions. It speaks it to you.
Mm-hmm.
And I found it really handy, and I hope maybe I can help someone else, too.
Yeah, no, that's great. And, yes, definitely shop around because, you know, you go to Walmart.com and they want $130, but then, you know, you go to Amazon and you can do it for $75. And so it really comes down to shopping for this, but it probably will set you back about 75. Now, of course, you can also go to eBay and look for something used, but for the most part, expect to pay about 75.
Yeah, and I know at all the different companies like AT Guys, and I can give you their number too if you want it. It takes a little while to get back to you, but they do, and they're wonderful. They give you information. And they're very patient. AT Guys, you can also get them at ATGuys.com.
Okay.
And they are 1-800-269-216-4798.
Well, you got more than I did because I didn't think it was 800 number. I thought the AT Guys was area code 269-216-4798.
Yeah, you're right. You know what? I don't know why in the world I was writing all three of them down on the card.
It's
269-216-4798.
Exactly. So,
I'm sorry. I should have counted my numbers.
No, it's good to check all of this stuff, and they have a lot of products. But like you'll see that they'll sell it for $70, but you pay for shipping if it's under $99. So you know, no matter what you do, it's and that's fine as long as people know in advance that this is going to be a little pricey.
Yeah, like I say, I bought my first one probably 2 or 3 years ago, and then I went to, I took him to a class at the Lighthouse and thought for sure I left it there. I couldn't find it anywhere, and I got another one, and a month later, I went to a class, and the instructor said, oh, by the way, you left your recorder.
So then you had to.
Captain.
Yeah. Always nice to have two. All right.
Thank you.
Good
and
deal.
Would you play another Manhattan's, one of the carnival ones?
Oh, yeah. I'll do that.
Oh, thank you so much.
Sure. Thanks for calling.
And thanks for taking my call. Always. I appreciate it.
Always good to hear from you. Thanks. All right, so we'll get to Eduardo, and we'll get to Chris, and Jim called back. We'll get to Jim. Yeah, we were speaking to Jim before the news so rudely interrupted me, but now this will rudely interrupt me on WGN Radio.
Hey, couldn't love me. Hey, 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 couldn't love me. Hey, couldn't love me.
Day I miss you, little darling. Ooh. But I'm afraid to let you know. Ooh. I bet if you let me hold you, baby, ooh, I'd never, never let you go. Bet you can't love me, baby.
Bet you couldn't love me.
I bet you couldn't love me, baby.
Bet you couldn't love me.
As I sit you, baby, darling, crying because you make me feel so sad. I bet if you called me, baby, I wouldn't hardly feel so bad. Bet you can't love me, baby.
Bet you couldn't love me.
$10, you couldn't love me, baby.
WG, I bet my life I'm Raleigh James. I was looking for something on Carnival by the Manhattans that I rarely play, and then I thought about Betcha. Blue Lovett wrote that, 1966, and that's for Karen. 888-876-5593, WGN Radio, and we have Laura, and Laura is in Des Plaines. So, Laura, what's up tonight?
Well, I went to the library, and I printed up your book, because I really don't like reading online. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Well, no, it cost me like $20, but what a book goes for, you know?
Yeah, I guess if it was still available, that's about what it would go for. So you printed the whole thing out, all right.
Yeah, I did. You know, it's like 8 cents a copy or whatever. Jeez. So I did it, I read it, and it's probably not financially worth shipping. But, you know, I live in Des Plaines. I'm around Lutheran General a lot. That's where I work, close to it. I'm around, like, Cindy's area. A lot of people live in Harwood Heights. If somebody wants to come and pick it up, they can borrow it.
Okay.
No, I'm serious.
All right. All right. Well, hopefully.
Because I know a lot of people are asking about it.
Yeah, hopefully people will just be able to read it online.
Yeah, it burns my eyes when I read online too long.
I don't like to do it either, as far as that goes. And if I had more copies, I just didn't want to go through another printing.
Okay. But, you know, if somebody wants to give a call to John.
Okay.
Let me know in a couple of days or whatever. I'll check that next week.
But they got to be near Des Plaines. That's the only deal.
Well, you know, there's Harlem and Irving Plaza. A lot of your listeners live around there.
Yeah. Well, there you go. That's a very, very nice offer, to say the least. So what did you think of the book?
I loved it.
Oh, well, good.
Of course, I love learning the history of the radio, but, you know, this shopping in the mall of life.
Oh, yeah.
You are right about that.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, that's where heartache comes when we want to shoplift. Doesn't work.
And, and sometimes I forget to just visualize what I want.
Oh,
I
get
too complacent where I am.
Sure.
No, I can do better.
Absolutely.
All I have to do is believe it, have faith.
Yes. Isn't that the truth? All right. Yep. Well, I'm glad you liked it, and thank you.
Oh, sure. Bye-bye.
Appreciate it. Okay, so if you're anywhere in the environs of the Des Plaines area, Laura will be happy to give you her printout. All right. Well, that's above and beyond. That's for darn sure. All right. So let's see. Jim called back, and we'll get to Eduardo and Chris. But okay, Jim, I hope I didn't forget you after the news.
No, you hung up on me, but right. I'm not complaining.
All right.
I had a few other things.
Okay.
Number one, after my shot, my eyesight is better.
Yay.
And I'm excited.
Me too.
And I am no longer going to complain if it starts to go bad and everything.
Good.
I'm accepting what I have.
Good.
And then, and on top of that, I want to tell you what happened to me in the 70s.
Okay.
I took the girl that I thought forever she was going to be you know, my girl, and we went to Great America, Six Flags Great America.
Okay.
And we went on the boat ride.
Okay.
And then we got to the top of the boat ride, and it stopped.
Okay.
And I'm extremely afraid of heights. And how can you express to a girl that, you know, you're macho and everything when you're freaking out at the top of the log ride? It was a water ride. I don't think they have it anymore, but we were up there. We were up there for like half an hour, and I was freaking out. And, you know, and this is the girl that I thought I would spend the rest of my life with. You know, it was my first girlfriend. And, you know, then they finally climbed up the ladders and everything, and they got us to come down. And, you know, it just, you know, freaked me totally out. And then later on, we said, let's go downtown and go to the top of the John Hancock building. And then when we got to the top of the John Hancock building, there was a space between the elevator looking down, and I didn't want to get off the elevator.
Oh, geez.
And then we went to the observation tower, and I'm looking out, and we could almost see where we lived in Skokie from there, and I'm going, I'm freaking out. I'm standing 6 feet from the window, and I'm freaking out. So I
here's my question, Jim. Now, you knew that you were kind of afraid of heights. You just went through the whole thing on the ride. Why on earth would you even think of the John Hancock Center after that?
Because she wanted to go there.
Oh, God.
And that's the whole thing with me and with all of my relationships. It's whatever they wanted to do, you know, and it was just freaking me out, you know.
I take it that was the last date?
No.
Oh.
My last date was when I drove. She was down at Illinois State University, and I thought, oh, I'll go down and visit her. So I jumped on my motorcycle, drove 3 hours or more down to visit her, and she was... why are you here? And finding out she's in love with another man.
Oh, geez.
And, you know, that's when I go, I can't win, you know.
Well, not with her, but maybe that turned out for the best.
Right. And I drove back, and the temperature dropped, and I couldn't even feel my fingers.
Oh, God.
So I had them on top of the motor of the motorcycle just to make it home.
Oh,
and
God.
I'm going, I'm a loser, you know. That was back in the early 70s, you know.
No.
But, you know, that's life.
No, that,
but I just...
Nature's,
you know,
way of telling you to move on.
Right. And then you were talking about things happening at other places. So,
yeah.
And I, you know, and like I said, right now my attitude is what happens, happens. If I can't see, I can't see. If I, you know, if it starts to go dim, it starts to go dim. And that's my new attitude.
Good for
you. I'm going to deal with that.
Good for
you. And I not given up on finding other resources.
Good.
But I just wanted to let you know that thank you, Fran, and everyone else. But,
well, unfortunately, nobody's hearing you right now because we're in the news again.
Okay. I'll talk to you
later.
All
right. Good deal. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Bye.
All right. So, yes, blew the news. Oh, well.
In mellow tone,
you take it easy every day.
Play a melody,
and life is easy every way.
In mellow tone,
pretty soon the smoother you go.
In mellow key,
pretty soon you hear, pretty soon you know.
In mellow style,
and when you sing,
a joy to
you
hear.
You might as well make it swing.
Life's melody,
just listen.
easy,
too pleasy,
but your myths are not swinging constantly.
In mellow tone,
you ought to keep it soft and low.
There's mellow glow,
you needn't holler loud, you know.
Kind of mellow moan,
pretty soon you're living on low.
Sort of indigo,
pretty days ahead, pretty skies above.
A song of love, and love alone. In a mellow tone.
Mellowly, mellowly, mellowly. Whatever you say to me, try to say it mellowly. Mother Nature
sings. WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Lambert Hendricks and Ross. Yeah, 1960 on Columbia. The hottest new group in jazz, yes, and that's in a mellow tone, vocal version. And that was, as far as Hendrix, that was John Hendrix, who Al Jarreau said, pound for pound, he's the best jazz singer on the planet. So I guess it doesn't get better than that when you're talking about rave reviews. As far as Lambert, that was Dave Lambert. That was an interesting story. He had been a member of Gene Krupa's band and a recorder of a Charlie Parker. But the group Lambert Hendrix Ross formed in about 57, disbanded in about 64. And he went out and was doing a solo thing. Unfortunately, until he was changing a flat tire on his car and was hit, that was about 66, and just died on the spot. So that was it. As far as Ross, well, that's Annie. Annie Ross, she was originally from England and moved to America as a child and got into singing. But as far as any of them, I think Hendrix probably had the most jazz recognition of the three. But anyway, there you have it. 888, and that was for Fran. 888-876-5593-8888 Raleigh. All right, so Eduardo, and yes, and Jim had a great story. I hope you heard the rest of it. If you didn't, you know, when the news interrupts me, because when that happens, Bob is right on it. It's still on my stream. So if you go to the stream sometime after the show, once I digitize it, you can either download it or listen to it on a stream or whatever. So sorry about that. But okay, Eduardo is in Tampa. So Eduardo, welcome to WGN Radio.
Yeah, a couple of things. First, I don't know if the news already got this up, but there's a big fire at the substation in Heathrow.
Really?
And it's going to impact a lot of flights. Yeah.
Oh, no.
I'm watching it right now on Daily Mail.
Oh, no.
It's got a map, and there's like 1,000 flights. They're going to have to go somewhere else, but nobody's able to land over there right now.
Yeah, I guess the fire caused a power outage, and it was more the power outage than the fire that caused a complete shutdown at Heathrow.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So
there might be some residential people too without power, but yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah. But I mean, you know, unfortunately for many people, Heathrow not only as a destination but as a change of planes destination. So there's a lot of people who are probably not in a great position right about now.
Yeah, that was my first airport destination.
Really?
Some years ago.
Okay.
Yeah, that was my first. Yeah.
Okay.
I was so nervous. I was like shaking inside the plane because it was my first foreign flight.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. It was something here. So, yeah. But, yeah, hopefully things will work out. So I went in on a job interview today at JW.
How did it go?
I think it went well. It's going to be helping out with luggage, but there might be some other things that I help out with.
Okay.
But they're still going to be interviewing until next week, so we'll see what happens. So,
yeah,
I was glad to get out there and do an interview. So,
yes,
yeah, that'd be nice to work for a hotel like that. So,
sure. Well, keep me posted. Good luck on that.
Yeah. And just real quickly on the story I saw about falling ice. So there's this home, and there was some ice that fell in Palm Coast, but it also referenced a family in California who sued for $1 million. But they found out that the valve, a plane, had come loose. I guess it didn't tighten up good enough.
Yeah.
And it built up liquid, and formed into ice and it fell.
Yeah, no, that was JetBlue. This happens from time to time. And I think there was it was in Big Bear a couple of years ago too, where a family was still in shock over that. You hear about it every couple of years where that that happens, and very often you can trace it back. Sometimes you can't, but mm-hmm. it happens. And you say to yourself, I hope it wasn't from the laboratory, but especially when it's blue ice. Yeah, so it happens. So, sure, this was Los Angeles, though, not Big Bear, this more recent. And they're suing for $1 million. Now, of course, I think JetBlue had been fined $2 million for chronically late flights. So they got their issues, I guess.
Yeah, well, thank God nobody got hurt, so...
Well, right, of course, and yeah, you mentioned Palm Coast. That happened as well, where a family mm-hmm. was quite shocked. So one piece penetrated the roof, landed in the living room, and so that absolutely does sort of get your attention, to say the least. And usually, it's just ice chunks that are on the aircraft. They accumulate at high altitudes and they break away when they descend into warmer air. So, the deal is aircraft are not permitted to eject waste mid-flight, but it happens from leaks. So the bottom line is you don't want it to be blue ice.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So probably
well, I'm glad that doesn't happen during my Midway Airport time over there.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, probably the Palm Coast deal was something that was going into Orlando. They get down right about then to an altitude where that ice is going to just perhaps fall off. So
it's when it's going down, not when it's going up. That's when it's happening.
Well, yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Because it's because of atmosphere.
Change in temperature.
Right, what formed in the atmosphere. No, they're not taking off with ice. I guarantee that. Well, when they do, it's usually mm-hmm. a very, very sad story. But, it does happen. So, but yeah, watch out.
Maybe in the snowy areas, but definitely not in the warm areas.
Oh no, warm area, it's more likely to happen because of the change. Because mm-hmm. When you're talking atmospheric, it can develop anywhere when you're at 40,000 feet flying. And when you're coming down into warm air, that's why you hear these stories from Los Angeles, from Big Bear, from Palm Coast. No, that's more likely.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, thank God nobody got hurt,
Oh, absolutely. Right. So so they'll investigate. And, it does make you somewhat concerned, both on and off the aircraft, as far as... that goes. And I don't know enough about it. I'm sure the lawyers for JetBlue and others do, but is this preventable, or is this just a situation that occurs because of air travel that way?
Of the weather.
Yeah. Now, like I say, when it's blue ice, that's from the laboratory and that's preventable. But when it's not, I don't know. I say that's you talk about acts of nature and things like this. I don't know how much you can sue for that. It'll be interesting to watch.
Yeah. Well, let's hope that when they make these planes, they really fix them up really good, so that way they're not having these problems.
Well, it's not so much that it's rain droplets, and at high altitudes it freezes, and when you're in certain condition, the droplets can form into a ball, to say the least.
Okay.
And so that happens. Hell, that's the basis of hail too, as far as that goes. But I'm sure there's
right hail. Yeah,
I'm sure there's you don't need an airplane for that. I'm sure there's a lot of different atmospherics thing that happen. I'm not 100% sure how you prevent it. So, but you'll see that, and very often in California, but Florida as well. Every few years, you'll see that story on television where massive chunks of ice fall through the roof, And yeah, one fan, we were watching TV. And yeah, well, right. I guess the entertainment
yeah,
was.
Some of them want to say, oh, it could be like Alien, but no, it's not Alien.
No, it's not Alien as far as that. But it can be very loud, to say the least. So I don't know. I'll have to look at that, but I'll be interested in this lawsuit because if it's not preventable, then I'm not sure the carrier is liable.
Yeah. Okay, Raleigh.
All right,
well,
thanks.
You have a good weekend. We're getting down to the end here.
Yes, indeed. Thanks for calling.
Thank you very much.
All right, so 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh, we'll get to Chris in Greenville, and I don't know if there's room for you or not, but there's always next week. I'll look for the schedule right after this on WGN Radio. And I'm Raleigh James on WGN Radio, and we'll forgo the bumper since we're in the waning moments of the show. But that said, Chris in Greenville has been waiting for quite some time. So welcome back to WGN Radio, Chris.
Hey, Raleigh, it's Greenwood, not Greenville.
Oh, well, how about that? Yeah. All right, Greenwood. Yeah, well, we moved you. You know, it happens. So what's going on?
Yeah, what's going on is that we got a big film festival at Lander this weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I made a short film, and
is it in?
It's called, huh?
Is it in? Will it be shown at the festival?
Yeah, they'll show it at the festival.
Okay, so what's it called?
The Black Cat Slinger Slasher.
Ah, all right. Now, is it online? Can people see it in advance?
Day after the festival.
Okay.
2 days.
All right.
YouTube.
So are you competing for maybe some awards here?
Uh-huh.
All right.
Yeah, and my tagline is, guys, I found a treasure.
Uh-huh. All right.
Yeah, because I'll give you a little synopsis on it. It's about this guy that has the treasure is like the hat and the mask, and in his dream, he wears it, and then he has a nightmare of it attacking people, and
okay. And
it's like a, you know, it's like a pathological thriller.
All right. All right. So I'm looking at it right now. The Lander Film Festival, 2015 Film Festival and Short Film Competition. All right. So when will yours be shown?
When they get to the open division.
Okay. All right. So I was looking for a rundown of exactly what was for the dates on what things would be shown and all that, and I don't see that. But you were in last year's as well.
Yeah, and I did Dumb Ground It.
Right, exactly.
Mm-hmm. And I just get better and better, like year after year, because I've been doing it twice since 2012.
Yeah. Well, good.
Yeah. And we also lost one of our filmmakers recently. His name is Sam Thomas, and he's a great guy, too.
Uh-huh.
And he's around my kitchen. I remember he think we're going to do a tribute to him on the day of the festival.
Good.
And yeah, his short films he made like years ago is that I Wish My Dad Was Burt Reynolds, and it was funny.
That's great. That's great, yeah. So I see March 22nd, 2 days from now, there's a screening and awards ceremony, I guess. And I'm looking at the judges, including the guy from X-Men and all sorts of stuff like that. So
yeah.
Good.
Man.
Good.
And his voiceover, and we talked about drive-in theaters and monster movies and Roger Corman.
Okay.
And on that topic, you remember before Elvira and before all that, there was a show on KABC called Vampira or something.
Oh, Vampira. Vampira, of course. Absolutely. I remember that that well. And, that was Mela Nurmi. You betcha. And she was Finnish. And, yeah, you know, back in the day, every market had some local horror show host. And I've mentioned before, my favorite was a woman in Portland, Tarantula Ghoul, who I thought was just terrific. But yeah, I think that Vampyra was none too pleased about basically people stealing her act. You know, as for, I think she felt that Elvira was probably doing that. But like I say, she was from Finland, and she was in Ohio, and then in Oregon, and then went to Los Angeles, and she's a model and things like that. And she was fired by Mae West from a Broadway play because West feared she was being upstaged. So it said, I have no idea. But Vampyra came about in 1953. And in fact, that the costume was similar to, you know, Morticia Adams, you know, in the New Yorker cartoons of Charles Adams, you saw the Morticia. So I think that she got the idea from that. But yeah, 1954. Dig me later, Vampyra. The Vampyra Show. Yep.
Yeah, and that paved the way for, like, a lot of these horror shows.
That's what I'm saying. Everybody had one. Very often it was a deal where it was the guy who did Weekend Weather or something, or it was the sports guy. They put him up and gave him a name like M.T. Graves, and he'd host the horror movies.
Exactly, like Shock Theater, for example, because in my area, WLOS TV 13 out of Asheville,
right.
You have Shock Theater. Bill Norwood was one of the weathermen, and he played like Dr. Shock.
Yeah.
And he played, like, Dr. Shock was very popular from 58 to 77. It was originally on Saturday nights at 11, and it moved to Saturday afternoon and later.
Right, absolutely. It was Saturday afternoon, and they were all black and white. And, yeah, you betcha. So that was every market had one of these, believe me.
Yeah, and the 4:30 movie, too, and we had the 3:30 movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, because the younger audience ate the Shock Theater up, and they loved it. They played Dracula, they played The Mummy, they played The Fly, they played all kinds of old movies.
Yeah, and like I say, every marker, I remember in Kansas City, it was a woman, Marilyn the Witch, and she ran Shock Theater there. And there were, Mr. Bill, and Bill Norwood at WLOS, yeah, Mr. Bill. Sure. I wish that somebody had gotten the clips and done a whole little documentary on all these guys, but many of them, unfortunately, they weren't recorded because reel-to-reel videotape was too expensive to keep it. So, Ernie Anderson is the great Goulardi, and on. Every market had them.
Yeah, but I think WLOS made it popular.
I'm telling you, it really was pretty much all at the same time. I know LOS, I think, was 54 while Vampyra was on in Los Angeles. But really, it happened quickly everywhere.
Yeah, because the young people loved the horror movies and sci-fi. And they would hop the drive-ins and watch it on TV.
Well, and the other thing, of course, is a lot of these hosts were, comedic. And the thing they'd do in between, the movies when they'd cut away were just hilarious. So if the host was good, the host was as good as the movie.
Yeah, that's the thing, is the host. Yep. And not the movie.
That's it. Yeah. Yes. And I don't think... Yeah, I don't think there was a television market in America that didn't have one. You mentioned Bill Norwood at Shock Theater. Well, later after him was Martin Morgan. It continued. So, sure, everywhere.
Yeah, and then you know what ate Shock Theater up in the late, like in the 80s, is like cable TV and like AMC.
Well, to an extent. Now, by the way, do you know why it was called Shock Theater and where they got the films?
because it would shock you.
No, no. This was a syndicated deal, Universal Studios. They sold it to television studios. It was 52 pre-1948 horror films that they sold as a package.
Uh-huh.
That's how it happened.
And can they show The Blob on a shock theater, yeah, too?
That I don't know. But what I do know is you have ended the night. So call me next week and let me know how you do in the competition.
I will wish you luck.
I do wish you luck. I think everybody listening wishes you luck. Luck to Chris in Greenwood. All right. Good luck. All right. Thanks, Chris.
You're welcome.
And the video will undoubtedly be online after the festival. I hope he wins. All right. Apologies to Eric in Barrington. We didn't get there, but we will next week. And apologies to you because I didn't list when the hours of the show. It's a full hour, a full show Monday and Tuesday, I know for sure, but I'll put it on Raleigh.net. So until Monday Night Trivia, it's a replay tomorrow night, but the live one will be next Monday. We'll pretty much say that's a wrap. We thank Bob for keeping us on the air and John for screening your calls. But above all, I thank you for calling. It makes the show a pleasure to do. Talk to you next week on WGN Radio.